I want to echo something Brother Jim said in his prayer. I sure did enjoy the song service this morning. Just good selection of hymns and the way they were sung. So we're thankful for that. Okay. Pray for Brother Kim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see y'all again. Good to be back home. And please continue to pray. Subject that's been on my mind for a long time, seems like, and it just seems like it just keeps coming back. And I wonder, is because we just need to keep talking about it. Needs to be keep bringing it up. I'm going to take my text first off in Psalm 78. Psalm 78. If I had to give a title or so, it'd be like, "Give ear, O my people." In Psalm 78, verse 1 says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and of His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done." We'll stop right there. Come to the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Well, doesn't He continue to do wonderful works? Yes, obviously, He continues to work His will. But that's one of the things about preaching. That's one of the things about coming together into God's house, is to hear of the good works of God. Hear of the good things of God. You know that song, "Tell Me the Story of Jesus." Tell me the story of Jesus. It's important that we hear more and more about Jesus. And then verse 5 says, "For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children." Yes, it's important to hear preaching. Yes, it's important to hear the gospel ministers, what the Lord has put upon their heart. But brethren, we need to be teaching this in our homes. This needs to be taught. This needs to be read more and more. It's important. You know, because the minister, if you're relying upon the minister to preach to your children and teach them, well, they only have them like, what, maybe an hour a week? What about the rest of the time? What about the rest of the time? You're just going to give them over to the world? There's too much of the world as it is. This needs to be echoed in homes. This needs to be heard. Children need to hear Mom and Daddy talk about these wonderful works. They need to know that this is important to them. I shudder to think how oftentimes I failed in that aspect. I'm a failure. I need to be filling my time with this word. Filling my time with this word so my children see how important it is. Verse 5 again, "For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children." Verse 6, "that the generation to come might know them." Well, if they're going to know them, they need to be taught, right? "That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." It's a generational thing. If the first generation doesn't take it serious, the second generation is going to take it less serious. And the third generation is probably going to say, "Well, that's not very important at all, so I don't have to deal with it." By the time that fourth generation comes around, they don't even know what it is. It's lost. It's gone. Now, we have a promise that the Lord shall preserve His word from this generation forever. That's a promise from God. This word is going to last. This word is from generation now forever. But will it be here? Will it be here at Piney Grove? Will it be here in the United States? Will it be in my home? You know, Joshua said in his farewell to Israel, "As for me and my house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, when he says his house, that should be his family, his generation, his lineage. You know, some people say, "Well, I want to leave something. I want to leave a legacy." You could leave no better legacy than knowing these truths. Because these truths can outlast anything. This truth is forever. This world is going to spit a lot of lies. This world is going to try to spin a lot of things. This world is not a friend of God. That's why we need to train up children. That's what Proverbs talks about. Train up a child when he is young. Train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he should not depart from them. Train up a children, because you have to do that. That's the thing about children. You have to train them. You know, because you can raise anything. You can raise plants, you can raise hogs, you can raise dogs. It doesn't matter. You can give them what they need to survive. But you train children in the way that they should go. I'm so thankful for the training I received. I'm so thankful for the love that I was shown in my family, my church family, everywhere that I go, that I see the love of God. I'm so thankful for that. You know, not everybody has that. Not everybody was exposed to that at a young age. But we have His Word. We can learn. We can talk to others. We can associate with others that had those experiences. And we can break that cycle. Do something different. You know, the things about this country and the directions that they're going, the things that we see that are wrong are dead wrong. We know they're wrong because they're contrary to the Word of God. Well, I have very little to do with Washington, D.C. I have absolutely nothing to do with that, basically. But I have me. I have my family. I can try to do better for me so I can learn from these truths. I can hear this instruction. I can try to teach to my children. Make our lives better. I can't change the circumstances around, but I can tell them and teach them about a God who is all powerful, about a God who has overcome this world. In verse 7, that they might set, talking about the children, to teach the children, says verse 7, that they might set their hope in God. What better hope is there? What other hope is there? There is nothing other than Jesus Christ. Amen. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. That's why we need to keep talking about it. Always reiterating, always talking about it. You know, sometimes people say, "Well, that preacher's been harping on that for a long time." Well, if we'd get it, and I know I'm talking about myself, why don't I get it? Why am I not perfect by now? I've read and read and read, and I need to do this. Why am I not perfect by now? Because that's our old nature. We have to work at it. There's effort that needs to be put into it. There's something for me to do, and I've always have room for improvement. You know, our standard should be Jesus Christ. That sinless perfection. That's my standard. That's my goal. I'll never reach that goal, this side of glory. But the higher the bar is, the higher I'll reach. You know, some people say, "Well, you know, just set the bar low, attainable goals." What good is that? Set the bar as high as you can and reach higher and higher. Verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Keep His commandments. Over in Deuteronomy, we have the Ten Commandments. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, I'm not going to take the time to read all of them. We should be all familiar with those. But in verse 32 of chapter 5 in Deuteronomy, it says, "Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord our God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess." And he's talking about that land of Canaan. You know, that land that flows with milk and honey. This land that the Lord was just going to give them. Well, last time I checked, we lived in the United States of America. There's things all just at our fingertips. We can have pretty much whatever we want. This land flows with milk and honey. Isn't God good? Isn't God gracious to us? We've been blessed upon blessed upon blessed. You know, I hear that phrase, says God bless America. Yes, He has blessed America. But what is His people, including me, what have we done? Have we humbled ourselves, as we heard this morning? Have we humbled ourselves and tried to follow His will? Try to follow His word. In chapter 6, verse 1, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, and the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it." It's not so much just being here. We need to do. You know, like over in James, he said, don't be a forgetful hearer only, but a doer of the word. "That they might be well with thee, and that thy may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them half-heartedly, teach them sometimes, teach them maybe." No, it says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Again, I fail so often. There's so many times I've had an opportunity that I could teach something or talk more about it. But no, I got something else I got to do. I got something else I want to do. "But thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Let it be a thing that you do. Let that be a habit of yours. We talk about these things. Get the Bible out. Read some. You know, whatever we need to do. Let it be a habit. Let it see. Let the children see. Because I tell you, one of the best ways to teach somebody is by example. One of the most detrimental phrases that I hear is, "Do as I say, not as I do." What is that teaching? Do as I say, not as I do. God says to do this. Why? Because He is good. So yes, God's not just up there saying, "You do this and I'm going to do something different." No, He is all good. He's not just some all-powerful being that does, you know, evil and tells you to do good. No, He is good. He is great. And He's blessed us upon blessings. He is a wonderful Heavenly Father. And like a father, we want to see our children do well. We want to see our children do well. I think it was Proverbs 23. Yeah. That was my Bible app. They have a daily verse, and I thought it was very fitting for this morning. Proverbs 23:24 said, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begatteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Well, the only way to have that righteous man is by Jesus Christ, right? By his righteousness imputed unto us. That born again child of God, when we know that we are his, we need to seek after his word, his wisdom. That way we can be, as the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice that he begotteth a wise child. The only way to be wise in this world is through his wisdom, God's wisdom. Oh, there's a lot of people that think they're wise in the ways of the world. But the only true way to be a wise person is through his word. So we're to diligently teach these truths. Because it's so important. This world, we have a promise in the scriptures that they're just going to wax worse and worse. Things are just going to get bad. The Lord even told us, in this life you shall have tribulations. But he did say to be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. That's why it's important that we reiterate this. He says in verse 7 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto the children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. You know, when you're sitting around the house, talk of Jesus. Talk about the good things. And when thou walkest by the way, you know, things that we talk about, things that we see, we need to be filling our life with this word. Like in Psalm 1, that blessed man, what was his delight? The delight, the law of the Lord. The blessed man. You want to be a blessed man or a blessed woman? Let your delight be the law of the Lord. And not just hear it. Remember, not just hearing the word, but act upon it. Do it. I'd have a lot of work to do. I know I do. I fail. I falter. I stumble. I'm terrible. I'll just be honest with you. We need to work. And that's one of the things about the church. We have this time to be together, to bear one another's burdens. Give somebody a hug, a handshake, or if nothing else, a smile. Maybe the only smile they see. You know, the Lord can see upon the heart. I can't. All I can see is outward appearance. So if you're going through something and you don't feel comfortable about talking about it, you can go to somebody. If nothing else, you can go to the Lord, right? You know, some people say, well, if nothing else, that's where the true help is. But man, it's almost like the Lord knew what he was doing when he set up the church. Yes, he did. He knew what he was doing. Why? Because we need this. We need this time. But you know, we can enjoy being in the kingdom at church. But we can enjoy being in his kingdom wherever we are. But it takes work. We have to press into the kingdom. You heard that old saying, you only get as much as you put in. Well, if we're putting more into it, if we're putting our back into it, pressing in harder and harder, brethren, we're going to receive those joys of being in his kingdom. That's real joy. That's real happiness, if you will, is being in his kingdom. So we need to be teaching this his word. We need to know his word. Because if you don't know it, how can you teach it, right? How can you speak of it if you don't know it? Now, I know I'm not saying that you have to know every single word and every single mystery that's in this book, brother, because I don't. I don't. But the stuff that I have read, the stuff that I have written upon my heart, I need to be teaching them. And it's not just your children. If you're exposed to other people's children, or if there's other people that you know of, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a child. It could be another person of the same age. Whatever we can do, wherever we are, we need to be preaching the gospel. I love that phrase, you know, we need to go preaching the gospel wherever we go, and if necessary, use words. You know, when the Lord said, let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine. When you're doing the will of God, when you're trying to walk a godly way, when you're trying to keep yourself right in the eyes of the Lord,
amen.
That's hard to hide. There'll be a glow about you. And you may be the only light in that dark place. And if that child of God is seeking for the light, they'll see it. They're attracted to it. So you better be ready, right? Be ready to give an answer, right? So let us put our nose back in the book. Read these truths. Learn of Him. Write it upon my heart. Talk about it often. And especially teach the younger's generation. Because, well, they're coming up. You know, when we get into that point in age, when we're gray and old, and we're about to breathe out our last, what are we leaving the younger generation? Are we leaving a church in good condition? Or are we leaving a house lay waste? The foundations be destroyed. Let us not be like that. Let us have it built up, rooted in Jesus Christ, the only foundation fit to build upon. That's what we need to have them, teach them so they can set their hope in God. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.